This is the real Impact Wrestling World Champion, Big Mike Michael Elgin, and you're listening to Total Nonstop Impact.
This is the jaw-jacking Tuesday night impacting. His mother called him son because he shines like one. Mocha skin manimal, Rohit Raju, and you are watching Total Nonstop Impact.
This is Taya La Huera Loca, and you are listening to Total Nonstop Impact.
The walking weapon, Josh Alexander, and you're listening to Total Nonstop Impact.
We are the Rascals. You are listening to Total
Nonstop
Impact
Podcast, baby.
Woo! And what you're really listening to is Total Nonstop Impact. Don't you dare miss a lesson.
Sitting here, you guys got a 15-minute intro of putting yourselves over while I'm sitting here and watching J-Bone and Kalon and you're 15. I never saw a 15-minute intro of three guys putting themselves over.
This is the good stuff.
Welcome back, everybody. Total Nonstop Impact. Impact Talk Fruit Bag fans featured right here on the TNI Network. This is Trent Long, my co-host, J-Bone. J-Bone, what's happening on this throwback Thursday?
I have one question for you.
What's up?
Where the hell is Kalon?
Kalon, I don't know, man. Look, Kalon. He comes in. First, he doesn't adjust the intro volume. It's still blowing my speakers up. Blow everybody's eardrums out. I don't get that. I don't get the edit. I said, Kalon, can you put John E. Bravo into the intro? No, I can't get that either. I cannot get a break from this idiot to do anything I need him to do. And he's not doing, and he's not on the show. I don't think he watched Throwback. He's not here. So I don't know what to make of this guy, Jay. It's going back to a two-man show. You know, he says, I want to be on the throwback. Well, you got to kind of watch the show and be on it with us. You know, Jay, we're dedicating time to this. What do you make of all this?
I think it all comes down to this.
I don't know whether to say congratulations or I'm sorry.
Oh, J-Bone, what's happening? It's Thursday. Guys, thanks for joining us. We moved the show to Thursday. Jay, a couple weeks ago, pointed out an amazing thing. He said, Trent, we're doing a throwback show, correct? I said, yeah, J-Bone, you know this. You're on the show. We're doing throwback. He's like, let me ask you a question. We do the Impact Plus Weekly on Sunday. Then we're doing throwback on Monday. And we're doing the main show on Tuesday. He goes, you're trying to kill me with working me 3 days in a row? And he goes, Jay, I never thought about it that way. And he goes, well, wouldn't it make more sense to do a throwback show on Throwback Thursday? I said, you know what, Jay? You're a smart son of a bitch. You're wise. Jay, you got a couple of gray hairs. You're wise behind your ears. I took your advice, and we moved it. We moved the show to Thursday. It's officially Throwback Thursday. Now, I just saw Bill Gardner in the comments. Bill is going to join us next week, guys. He's going to be on episode 30 of NWA TNA. Special guest, big round, nice round number, Bill. We'll get you in for number 30. But anyway, so this is it. Throwback Thursdays is the show. So Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. It's a nice little pace there, huh?
I like it. It makes it easier for me because I could do my stuff in between, you know, my AEW stuff on Wednesday, whatever on Monday. I do my jacked up jukebox usually on the weekend now. So yeah, it's all broken up. I like it.
I like it too. Well, I'm having a protein bar. I'm having a good night. Jay, we were going to talk about something here. you told me Kyle, by the way, yes, Humble Beast Kyle. That's what happens. Kyle's in love. The woman comes into play. She starts Yoko Ono-ing the project here. Jay, we want to announce something at the top of the show. You want to go ahead and I'll let you say you're the elder statesman of the show. What we're not going to discuss today.
There's a lot of controversial things getting talked about in social media over the last 24 to 48 hours that are just coming to the light of day as of a little messaging going on back and forth between Trent and our group. It covers several different platforms, several different people, several different companies. We are not going to talk about that tonight because we don't know what's true. We're just staying out of it. Okay. It doesn't belong here, especially when we're talking about the throwback stuff tonight. If anything significant and true actually comes to the light of day within the next 48 hours plus, we may, talk a little bit about it on the Impact Weekly Plus, you know, which is just a kind of a general discussion,
mm-hmm.
you know, but we're not going to talk about it tonight. So you want to talk about it amongst yourselves? Fine. Just not here. All right, because we're leaving it alone. We're staying out of it.
Yeah, for those who know what we're talking about, you know what we're talking about. For those who don't, you'll come across. I just don't want to. I'm not mentioning names. I'm not saying anything. So, and again, it's throwback. This is supposed to be a fun show. I like looking back. I'm not trying to get into all that bullshit right now. So,
yeah.
We're here, guys. Episode number 29. This is J-Bone, January 22nd, 2003. This is one of the most pinnacle episodes of NWA TNA. Honest to God, if you watched it live, and I did, so I don't know who did. If anybody watched this one live, I want you to sound off. I want you to sound off right now and tell me who watched it live, because this is one of the absolute most pinnacle episodes to this point at the time. And I'll never forget the feeling and the buzz that went around when this happened. So if you did watch it, I want you to sound off, man. So put a comment down. I want to know who did see this one live in 2003. Because Jay, I got to tell you, man, this is an amazing show. Action packed, head to toe action packed. This one was, and it hits today like it did then. How did you feel for the first time watching it?
I've seen the highlights before, like Raven showing up. I've seen that in the past, and I remember hearing about it like way back when it happened. But it's all, dude, it's so long ago. It's so blurry. And there was so much going on back then. I know at the time I was excited because, look, Raven's already always been one of my favorites, whether he was an ECW, WCW, the Flock, whatever. I just thought the character and his whole persona was just badass. I loved it. He had just debuted a brand new look in WWF at the time. And I was excited about it. I was like, oh, okay, here we go. Kind of a rebirth for Raven. Cool. He had some like dreadlocks and some face paint and stuff. And kind of a tribal looking, what I don't know. You know, it's just different. I dug it. Then all of a sudden, boom, he was canned. And literally within days, I'm going to have to, and I should have done this before. I can look it up now. The time between the TV that they showed him
mm-hmm.
and then canned him and then debuting here, I don't think we're very far apart, literally days apart. I'm going to check it out right now.
Yeah, I'm curious too. But man, he was hot at the time. You know, Raven always has been an amazingly polarizing figure. You know, the dude is always, he's always at the cusp of some innovation, some character progression. The guy was a very, very key player in a lot of promotions, including TNA. And he I don't think he gets enough credit for what he's done in TNA, you know, and I think recently it's been a little talked about more with some recent appearances and stuff. So I'm glad he's gotten a little bit of a nod recently too with this generation. Cause dude, he's a key player, man. I mean, the guy is legendary in the industry. So, definitely, I'm glad to be talking about this episode. I just remember watching this one with my buddy Dave at the time, and we lost it. And so we'll talk about it. We'll get to it. Let's kick it off, J-Bone. January 22nd, 2003. J-Bone, like I ask you for every throwback show, where were you on January 22nd, 2003? Because my answer is always the same, J-Bone. My answer is at my buddy Dave's house on his couch watching NWA TNA. Where were you in 2003?
Well, I can I can tell you. So I just quick looked it up here. Like I said, the debut of the two. Now this is back before 90-day no compete clauses.
Okay? Yes. Yes. Which really became a thing later on.
Later on. Yeah. Is what we, I mean, I can't remember when they started, but this apparently was not here, because right here, and I'm assuming this is true, you know, a lot of things in Wikipedia are not, you know, very, very true. They're just made up, you know, BS.
Mm-hmm.
You can change it anytime, but I'm going to buy this because this sounds legit. It says he was released from the promotion the following week, January 20th, 2003. He debuted 2 days later, folks. 2 days later.
No shit. I mean, it was a Wednesday, so makes sense. That makes sense. Okay.
So
funny. That, see, and that's hot. You know, that's the kind of stuff. Now it gets ruined on Twitter right away. Now I've seen them blow their own news. So and so is going to be debuting tonight. For God's sake. The surprise. Now there were two guys in the crowd though that knew this was happening, apparently, because they had signs. And I still to this day don't know how those two morons had those signs. I don't know who those guys were, but they had Raven signs.
This was the look he debuted that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I was pretty stoked about this look. It was different. I liked it. And then all of a sudden, boom, he was gone. And he showed up literally 2 days later. TNA.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, we kick it off now. JB is in Australia. And first start we see, he's talking about bringing Australia its first TNA match. I was a little confused by this now, because we cut back to the Asylum, Jay, and JB's in the ring, a ring announcing. What the hell? What did I miss there? What did I miss?
This is a point, and this kind of started in the last couple of weeks. I forget exactly what episode it was. It might have been the last one. They started talking about those international television deals.
Right.
That's what this has to do with.
So he's saying they're broadcasting in Australia first time tonight.
Yes.
And they flew him to Australia to film that segment in Sydney. I assume he was there anyway. But.
Pretty much. I mean, they might have filmed more, and we'll find that out in future episodes. But, you know, they got, I think, one of the most impressive things, and I say that with, you know, some tongue-in-cheek humor behind it,
mm-hmm.
is the lovely little outfits that the Cage Girls were you know, had on and were showing off, and the little tattoos and the little koala bears. So you know, I don't know what to say about it. It's just
hey, you gotta play to your audience, man. You gotta play to your crowd. You gotta play to your crowd.
Welcome Australia. Oh my God. All right.
Oh yeah. Hey, listen, they're all in. They were all in to welcome Australia to the show, to the family. It was interesting. I mean, again, consider this, guys. This is something that TNA does not get enough credit for. You got to remember, 2003, they were doing stuff that promotions today have a hard time doing. You know, with all that's said about certain companies, other companies, like, dude, they were a pay-per-view only company getting international television deals. Let's think about that for a second, Jay. That's a big deal to be getting international television deals in 2003 as a pay-per-view only company domestically. Tell me how that happens. You know,
that's like, that sounds pretty groundbreaking to me. I mean, that's crazy.
I think it's a really very, like I said, groundbreaking is a perfect word for it. I think it's awesome. And I love that they were doing that. Now, I don't know how, I can't remember how much more came out of the Australia stuff. I know they did. I think Jared took the belt down there at some point. And we'll probably get to it because they'll probably recap all that. But we open up the crowd. Jay is hot, man. Mm. I was, like I told Russo when we had him on, Sports Entertainment Extreme debuts, and you just see the shift in the crowd. It's younger, it's louder, it's rowdier. They respond to the heels more. Like in like a week's time, the grandmas were gone and the kids were gone. And it was like, it was like, you know, 18 to 35, man. That's what's filling that arena. Did you notice that too?
Oh yeah. It's getting louder. There's more signs.
Rowdy, you know, they're just rowdy in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's some kids there, but there's less and less. It's like several weeks ago, there was a lot of kids, especially sitting behind, Don West and Tanay, and now it's just, you know, rowdy, 20-some-year-old guys with, you know, nasty signs or whatever. You know?
Well, that's what I say. Like, if you watch the first, let's say, where are we on? We're on 29. Watch the first, like, 15. And it's like, it's kids. It's the grandpa, you know, it's the locals more, you know, the local wrestling fans. And then it changes, man. You bring this guy from New York and it changed everything. And you see it. And they're just, I love how rowdy they are. Open up. Listen to this opening match now. And it's a nothing match. It's a random tag team. David Young, Shark Boy, Jimmy Yang. Completely no sense. Throw them together. And I love that Mike Tenay even discussed that. Did you catch that, Jay? Like, that little detail of what makes Mike Tenay so good. He even mentions it. He goes, yeah, this put together team. You know, like he let you know that it's not a real team. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, talking about Shark Boy, David Young, and Jimmy Yang. Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, but they were putting them over at the same time, talking about how Shark Boy's been there since several weeks ago, the early days, and how trim and how good David Young looks, mm-hmm. you know, and Jimmy Yang's breaking away from the Elvises, the Flying Elvises, you know. So there's all these little things happening now after like the first part of the year and stuff. So yeah,
It's interesting. But they take on the SATs, man. And I love, again, this is where Tanay is awesome. This is where Tanay is really, really cool. He even addresses, like, the detail of Mike Tanay, man. He even addresses the fact that Red had that title shot that he missed as he got stuck in Japan. He missed his title shot. So he goes, hey, he missed this title shot. He's not going to get it. He'll probably get it at a later time. We haven't forget it, but he has to give up that title shot. And I'm like, nobody would remember, but Mike Tenay with that little detail puts that in, man. I love that about him. Great continuity. No gaps. He mentions on this commentary, Jay, that the Sheik passed away a couple days prior. That's Sabu's uncle, the legendary, the inventor of hardcore wrestling. Deathmatch wrestling, the Sheik, passed away.
Did mention that, yeah.
And so they were SATs, our buddies, SATs. And this was Joel and Jose and Red, you know, taking on these three here. I love, again, Tanay. He uses a great line here, Jay. He says, they're not the future, they're the present of TNA. I love that. Yeah. He's like, oh, we're talking about the future of TNA. It's like, no, these guys are the present of TNA. That's the company is built around. Again, awesome. Red wins it. Awesome. Red pins Yang. Code Red off the top rope, which I loved. Out of nowhere, though, J-Bone, Conan jumps in, attacks the losers with the kendo stick. Security's escorting him out. He beats him down. He's escorting him out. And he's yelling at Tanay, you know what this is all about. And Tanay's like, I don't know. And Don West's like, what are you not telling us, Mike? What are you not telling us? He's like, I love how Don West is instigating the whole thing. Like, I don't know, Mike. He's looking right at you. What are you not telling us? I don't know. Fuck.
Right.
What do you think it's about, Jay? I mean, did Tanay sleep with Conan's wife? What's going on here? I mean, he's pretty pissed off at Mike Tanay. It seems.
Wow, that was out of left field, man.
Take your guesses, guys. I don't know why I said that.
That made me think. I was like, wow, Conan's married? It's got to be something from the past. It's okay that they're doing that because there are so many connections to the past talking about WCW. Relationships that happened back then. People that, you know, jump from WCW in its demise to this brand new company. And it's still happening. It's happening every episode. There's new people showing up.
Yeah.
And I think it's true. Probably something that has to do with that, but it's like off the top of my head that last year of WCW is so fuzzy because I was real back and forth watching it. So nothing like jumps out at me like, oh yeah, it was definitely about this or that. I have no idea, really.
I don't know. Hey, in the chat, what do you guys think? What do you think Conan's pissed off about? Does it have to do with WCW? They've been using a lot of that, though, Jay. They use a lot of, like, you know, it had to do with WCW history. Like, this goes back to WCW. There's been a lot of that in these storylines lately. I don't know if you caught that. A lot of they do that a lot, it seems like. They just constantly go back to WCW days, which is, again, it's fresh. Remember, think about it. This is only January of 03. WCW closed in March of 01. You know, just under 2 years of all this happening. So it's still fresh in everybody's mind, you know what I mean? So they're gonna keep dropping. I fully expect it to be WCW related, but we'll see. I could be totally wrong. Totally wrong. Sports Entertainment Extreme makes their way in. And Russo puts over the growth of TNA because of Sports Entertainment Extreme. What did you write down the percentages, Jay? Do you have the percentage written down? He gave actual numbers.
I believe they said 22%.
Yes, I think you're right. He says today, he goes, pay-per-view buys up 22%, bro. Ever since Sports Entertainment Extreme. Merchandise, the number one selling shirt, Sports Entertainment Extreme. Which, from what I understand, was actual fact at the time. All that. Again, shows you people want to see it. He makes the matches for the night because, remember, Sex got to pick the matches for the night. So he makes the matches for the night. And he puts Director of Acquisitions Mike Sanders over, and he sets up his newest acquisition, Jay. Australian heavyweight champion, as appointed by Russo. Ashley Hudson comes down from Australia. Now, do you remember this guy? You remember this guy? Ashley Hudson. He appeared on episode 14.
Yeah, he was, I was going to say, he was somewhere in the first handful of weeks or something.
He was. Randomly appeared on episode number 14.
Yeah, it was like a random tag team with someone. I don't even remember who.
I forgot what it was with. It was against AMW. I remember that. And, but it was like randomly he got thrown into some match. Like nobody heard of him. He came out of nowhere and was Ashley Hudson. Who the fuck is this guy? But apparently, Tanay even mentions on this that he had WCW time. And I was like, shit, he was in WCW. I'm like, I don't remember. Probably Saturday night stuff. But he's taking on Jorge Estrada, who's still in the Elvis gear, J-Bone. Why can't Jorge Estrada let his Elvis gear go? Why can he not shake this Elvis gear, man?
I don't know, but honestly, I think more impressive is that fro. Dude, that fro is like becoming a character in its own. It's really starting fro, to stand out.
The fro, I think, has gotten bigger since episode one. Like, he's definitely, that fro has grown more every week. But dude, I can't get over him still, like, still rocking the Elvis gear. Like, why is he still wearing this shit? Like, this is so, like, I know it's only been 29 weeks, but that Elvis gear, come on. Like, can we let the flying Elvises go already at this point? I don't know why we're still doing this, man. But for some reason, he felt the need. What's up?
There's little mini,
little mini
bros.
Little mini Russos? Let me get that. That's on Twitch. That's on Twitch. Kyle's a subscriber. That's how you get those little sub emojis. What do they call them? Chat cheer. I don't know what the hell they're called. I'm still learning Twitch, man. I'm still getting used to Twitch. Come on, Jay. Yeah.
Don't be a schlub. Okay, what I am. At Hudson least we're here. At least we're here, bro.
Can't shut his comments. Cut his comments. How about that? He has no mic. I'm gonna cut your comments, Kyle. Oh, they're gonna cut your comments off. Hudson wins crossbody for the win. And then Sanders tries to recruit Jorge Estrada. And Jorge's like, nah, I'm not doing it. I ain't doing it. So he's not doing it. So that was weird. I'm like, the guy just lost. Why are you trying to recruit him? I'm like, he's not good. I don't know, man. Jorge Estrada, what could have been? I just think that they kept him so pigeonholed with the Elvis year. It's like, what do you do with this guy now? How do you ever bring him back? Mildred Harris is saying, I was hanging out the straw with the froze. Yeah, absolutely.
Is that true? I mean, I don't know. We've got a little bit of evidence of that.
We're not playing.
I'm sorry, I had to.
not on the throwback show. We don't do bits on the throwback show, Jay. We don't do sound bites on the throwback show. What are you're screwing the whole flow of the throwback show. Well, listen, you got me, and you got to zing me when a little bastard isn't here to do it himself. He sends you to do his dirty work for him. Thanks a lot, Jay Bone. Not too happy about that. I'm gonna make you suffer at some point. All right, now. This next match, guys, I think was a sleeper hit for me. AJ Styles, they got Larry Zbyszko. Zbyszko he's up there. Right? But this age, I mean, put it this way. Jay, Mike Tenay is referencing Zbyszko taking on Bruno, you know, at Shea Stadium at this point. You know what I mean? He is talking Shea Stadium stuff at this point. And so I mean, for context, you're talking 20 plus years by at this stage, you know, that when that match happened, more than 20 years, and he's still in the ring now at this point. And again, am I crazy, Jared? Can he totally go? Did he totally look great? Larry Zbyszko,
he shocked me. I mean, now granted, there wasn't a lot of time in this match, but the substance was there, it absolutely was there. I mean, Styles comes in, he's all cocky, he's smacking his gum, he's got a smirk on his face, he's like, ah, I got this, you know. And man, Zbyszko just wraps him up. It's crazy.
Dude, I thought Zbyszko looked fantastic. I was pretty impressed with Larry Zbyszko, man. I'm not gonna lie. You know, obviously he's a classic wrestler, but man, he could definitely go. Mortimer Plumtree comes out, is watching on the ramp. Again, we're still in the speculation. Who's AJ with? Is he with Mortimer? Is he with Russo? We don't know. Is he his manager or not? What's happening? Styles does cheat to win, gets the win on Larry Zbyszko, gets out of the ring, and then everybody's picking on Mike Tenay, Jay, but why are they always picking on Mike Tenay? He starts yelling at Tenay about, I want a title shot. I know you can make it happen. It's like, fuck, did he become the booker? Why is everybody yelling at Mike Tenay about stuff all day long? They yell at Mike Tenay. Why is that? Why is everybody picking on Mike Tenay?
Because he's the professor. He knows it all.
He knows it all. Son of a bitch. I feel so bad for Mike Tenay sometimes. Nerds get picked on, man. Clearly. Goldilocks in the back with Jerry Lynn. Jerry talks about what Sports Entertainment Extreme is doing to ruin the business. They're taking food off his daughter. My daughter's plate, as Jerry says in his very Scandinavian Minnesota accent. My daughter's plate. Jerry, I love Jerry Lynn. Does anybody not like Jerry Lynn? Can I just ask that? J-Bone? He's near you. He's a Minnesotan guy. You know, you guys are
I love him.
Next door state.
I never, you know.
Anybody in the chat who just doesn't like Jerry Lynn? I gotta know.
For years, I feel like I just didn't know anything about him. And now I feel like, you know, I'm learning a very significant part of his wrestling history, you know. And, it's like every time I see matches with him just knocking it out of the park, I keep thinking, man, why is this guy not in the Hall of Fame? You know, it just.
He's so good. He's always been so good, you know, and he's such a good dude. And guys, if you don't listen to Jerry Lynn's podcast, Front Row Material, him and Mikey Whipwreck with Mike Freeland, it's so good, man. It's so good. You guys got a lot. Listen, that's such a great podcast. It's so funny. So funny. You definitely, everybody, look, nobody in the chat dislikes Jerry Lynn. Everybody loves Jerry Lynn. I've never met anyone who's like, oh, I fucking hate Jerry Lynn. Like, you just can't not like him. And I remember the moment he got made. Was that ECW pay-per-view? I think it was Living Dangerously 98, him and Rob. He comes out, everybody is all new whole effing show. Jerry Lynn goes the distance with them, and they literally were chanting "New effing show" on the way out. That was it. Jerry Flynn, maybe Bill saying Jerry Flynn has heat with him. Maybe I always wondered about that, Bill. Jerry Flynn, I'm like, these two had to have had some conversation at some point. Like, hey man, what's up? I'm like, really? Really, yeah, we're really. Both going to do this? Whoopsie's out of here. Whoopsie, good night. It's so early. I don't know why you're going to bed so early. Tomorrow's Juneteenth. You should be off anyway, doing some service in your community. God damn it. No, I love him, but he's, again, they're pitting this whole story here of tradition versus sports entertainment. The good guys and the bad guys, the ones who are trying to ruin it, the traditionalists versus the new blood. You know, who's coming in? Who's going to try to disrupt the tradition of the NWA? They're really, Jay, you know, they're feeding that all show long. They're feeding that hype. You know what I mean? Like, you catching that? Like, little, every segment, they're feeding some of that all show long.
Yeah, it's nuts, man.
I like it. Aaron Jack just ordered a t-shirt. Thank you very much. Two t-shirts. Wow. Thank you very much, Aaron. You're the man, dude. Thank you. That's cool as shit.
Tremendous.
We'll get a fourth one up there soon. I know that. Very nice. Very nice. We really appreciate anybody who bought a t-shirt. Again, if you bought a t-shirt, let me throw this little mid-show plug. If you did buy a t-shirt and you would like to come on, you can come on the Impact Plus Weekly and hang out with us. Hang out with us on the Impact Plus Weekly Sunday night. Easy night. Or if you are watching these shows along, you want to come on, watch the throwback with us and do that, you're more than welcome to come on this too. But you got to watch the show. You got to have watched the show in order to do that. But links at the bottom, guys, prowrestlingtees.com/total nonstop impact. Thank you. Aaron, if you want to come on at some point, let us know about coming on Sunday night for the Impact Plus Weekly, and we'll get you on, man. We'll definitely schedule you up. All right, back to the show. All right. We get a match. It's Jerry Lynn and Ron the Truth Killings taking on David Flair and Mike Sanders. J-Bone, I talk a lot about Mike Sanders. I like Mike Sanders a lot. I feel like he did not get enough time to show himself off in the wrestling business. So far from what you've seen, give me your thoughts on Mike Sanders.
He was so over. Oh, and something just popped in my head. I got to go backwards here just for a moment. Did you notice how the crowd was towards Larry Zbyszko? And then literally seconds into the match, they turned on him.
I caught that. Why was that? What did I miss there?
Because this crowd loves AJ. They love AJ Styles. AJ Styles can do no wrong, no matter what, no matter who he's affiliated with. They love AJ Styles. He could
dude,
throw a
right.
grenade in the ring and they will still cheer his ass. What and proof of this statement is even after Larry's upset and he's talking to the ref, and then he gets out, and AJ, hearing all the cheers, jumps in the ring to get the pop. It's cocky. It's a little heelish, but he gets the pop. Like, yeah, look what I just did. And the crowd just erupts even more. It's like, wow.
They you could tell, you see the shift, the AJ style, the shift. People are like, that's our boy.
Yeah.
Remember, he's the organic guy. He's the guy who came up there. He's not a former WCW. I mean, he did a stint, but not really. Not a WWF guy. You know, he's their boy. He's a TNA guy. They watched him grow for 30 weeks almost. That's why for that, it's a big deal. I mean, I felt it too. I was watching and like, I was in love with this guy. I loved it. I loved everywhere. What the hell are these emojis that everybody's putting in our chat right now, Jay? What's going on here?
Are there no
actual comments coming through?
I see they're like this big in the comments. And so I'm putting them on the screen to try to read them. And I'm like, what the
hell? It says,
well, so that's a Sammy
this
one.
This is awesome.
We got a Steiner one. I okay. love these.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. Okay. This is great. Keep them coming, guys. The Twitchers, keep them coming. So, decent match. A lot of action in this match. Jerry and Truth make actually a... Jay, they actually made a really good team. Jerry Lynn and Truth, they made a really good team, I thought. I thought they looked good as a team. They were fun.
Excuse me. Yeah. what was hilarious about this is how over Mike Sanders was too. Now, he, one thing I noticed, it took a couple times. He started doing, like, whenever there was a two count, he'd look up at the ref and he'd go, "Hey," he'd throw out his arms. He'd go, "Hey," and the whole crowd would go, "Hey," right back. And he kept doing this and the crowd would get louder and louder and louder and louder. And
that's true.
Now, did he do, that's, I don't, true, like his time in WCW, it's all like blurry when he was part of that, that stable, refresh my memory, the Young Bloods.
Natural Born Thrillers.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
Natural Born Thrillers.
Yeah. I was close. No, not really. but close. Yeah, okay, so did he do that back then too? Or was this like something new that just caught on like fire?
I can't remember. If anybody in the chat remembers, I can't remember if he did that pose where he was getting all that, where he was doing the fanfare pose. I don't remember. I don't think so, though. I don't recall him doing that.
Okay.
But it was great. You're right, though. Every time he did it, it got louder and louder and louder. I was like, what the hell is happening? That's why they all, like, they're all so into him. It was great. He's good, though, man. Mike Sanders is a very, very good talent. Give him that, and they're doing mic time with him. I like that. Next segment's kind of weird, though. So they've been hyping, and we're going to get Rowdy Roddy Piper in the pit with Piper. But we find out it's via satellite, and then they cut to this shot, and he's in an empty arena, Jay. And he's in a ring, in an empty, like, small building gym, in a ring, and he's got a microphone, and I noticed the microphone said WB32 on it. So I don't know what he's filming at this point, but he cuts this very heavy promo about tradition, talks about all the guys who have died. His cousin Owen Hart, Kerry Von Erich, Junkyard Dog. And he said they all sat right there in those seats. Now they're not there. Talks about what's going on. Tradition again, tradition versus sports entertainment, what Russo's doing. It's, again, you're getting the legends to fight, to build up against the young SEX. Very similar, Jay, for anybody in the chat who knows, very similar to what they did with the New Blood angle. It was the New Blood versus the Millionaires Club. Anybody remember that? That was the other. The veterans group was the Millionaires Club. Remember that, J-Bone?
Vaguely.
And it was all the big contract guys. And that's what they were doing. They're trying to set that up in a way now where it's the veterans versus those guys. And I like it. I like that they're finally getting to do that again. It's something that I don't think got to play out totally in WCW. They didn't get to play out as well back then just because time, you know, the whole thing with Russo falling apart at the time, him not staying there as long as he wanted to. So there was a lot of back and forth with at that time. So I think it's a way for him to kind of start playing that out now, you know, that he never got to fully see it through then. He's going to see it through now, which I like.
There you go.
So interesting. Yeah, it's interesting to see them using the veterans for that reason. Because think about who we have, guys. I want to put this into perspective for a second. 29 weeks of this company, veteran-wise, who has already graced the ring? Forget all the young guys. You've had Dusty Rhodes. You've had Larry Zbysko. You've had Roddy Piper. You've had Curt Hennig. You had the Road Warriors. Who am I missing? Who am I missing at this point? These guys have all come into the ring. Nikita Koloff has come into this ring. Then there's more. I'm forgetting a couple of them here. Think about in 29 weeks, how many legends have come through?
I'd say, I don't know if you call them legends because it was right after the Attitude Era, but now you could say like Sabu and Shamrock. I don't know if you lump that into that or not.
At the time, they were younger. They were a little more fresh and younger, but yeah. I wouldn't mind. I mean, yeah, you could say that. You know, they were still off ECW, but even like I'm talking that the golden year generation. I mean, think about who you had come in. All right, it's remarkable who's walked in the doors at TNA at this point, man. And again, you're not getting enough credit for that. That's a lot of names to come through this company in a very short amount of time. And if you guys remember, if I'm missing anybody, definitely throw it in the chat. I'm curious if I'm missing anybody there. But that's a lot of people who have come through these doors in a very short amount of time. So I like where they're going. Now they're kind of like using them for something at this point. Next match, guys. America's Most Wanted taking on Loki and Elix Skipper. Now, this is for the tag team title. This is one that they made. Russo got to pick the match, and he picked Loki and Elix to do it. Now, this is you're laying the seeds of Triple X here now. Now, Jay, you remember Triple X? You're pretty familiar with Triple X at the time?
Oh, yeah. I remember Triple X. It was more prominent than the time when I was watching, I think, when they got the TV deal. You know, that's what I remember the most is who was around then. It's still a lot of the similar ones, but yeah, they were, cause there was no sports entertainment extreme. It was just Triple X and the big, yeah. I think the big faction had, disbanded by then.
Yeah, no, for sure. But, this is the seeds though, guys. Remember Triple X was a 3-man team, Daniels, Loki and Elix that did all of that. You know, you never know which combination. The Freebird rule, basically. They have the Freebird rule on who's going to defend the titles, be in the match, that kind of thing. So this is you're laying the seeds of it right here, which I think is pretty cool. Like, you're kind of starting to see that now. They take on America's Most Wanted. Jay, this match is so good. So good. Steamboat, too. Millard Harris. Steamboat was in the... Yeah, thank you.
Oh,
yeah. Episodes 1 and 2, 1 to 6, I think. Thank you very much, Jay. But this match, I swear to God, I wish America's Most Wanted would get more credit for being as awesome as they were. I know they get a lot, but man, I'm talking like in like the lexicon of professional wrestling. Chris Harris is fantastic. I could totally see why they were going to make him world champion until he got screwed out of it. I mean, which Russo told the story about.
Oh, yeah.
They screwed Harris, but how fucking good is Chris Harris, man? Like, he was so good.
Well, both him and Storm, because Storm really takes a majority of the ass whipping in this contest and sold everything and kept going and showed, persistence, showed heart, showed an intestinal fortitude, brother. You know, it just, the back and forth and, I mean, Triple X really cut the ring in half and showed
smart
in this instance who was. I mean, you could say it was 3-on-2, which is it's not a lie.
That's the game.
Yeah.
That's the game here. That's the game that they're playing. It's the Freebird rule. It's 3-on-2, man. You don't know who it's going to be, but man, I cannot. It's so crazy. I love James Storm, and I think James Storm matured into becoming one of the best.
Oh, absolutely.
But you can when you put him up against Harris here, you really see how young and I don't say undeveloped, but he's nowhere near the James Storm that left Impact. Put it that way. And obviously, you do grow in your skill, but man, I think Harris. I could see why now Harris was going to be the breakout. I could totally see why he was the breakout.
Yeah,
it makes so much sense.
He flowed in the ring just like crazy. And he was a big guy too, and usually guys that big don't flow like that in the ring. You know, they're a little more power, a little more chunky move, you know. But he really had just a dynamic about him, man. It's just amazing.
Yeah, we got a couple other names, by the way. Bullet Bob is another name that appeared as well. I mean, we can't forget Bullet Bob. He's a legend too. Vader.
Spoilers, Gary. Spoilers. I didn't know this was happening. No, I'm kidding. It's all right.
Up until now, only Gary. Up until now. Up until 29. Come on. But they get Triple X. Well, the soon to be Triple X does get the win. They're a little cheat to win. You know, they get a little assistance. And they won the World Tag Team titles. This is the first of, I think, 3 that end up happening for them. And they win the NWA Tag Team titles, Loki and Elix Skipper. Again, Elix Skipper is one of those unsung heroes of TNA. He is in every video package with the Hurricanrana off the cage. Every single highlight reel of TNA, Elix Skipper is a part of it. He'll forever be a part of it. Forever, Jay. I mean, Jay, that move today still blows my mind when I see that move being done.
And that was one of the first things that sold me on this company, because that was one of the things that was featured. That match was featured in that 1 cent pay-per-view that I bought that made me a fan.
That was, to this day, classic stuff, man. That match that it happens in, blow your mind. And keep in mind, guys, the Triple X and AMW feud goes on like a year plus. This is a year long feud you're about, that's essentially kicking off like right now. That's what's happening. Like, you're seeing the genesis of one of the greatest feuds in TNA history. So strap in on this one, because this one's a lot of fun as it builds, man. But definitely a very, very good match. I highly recommend this match. I don't think it gets put on too many of the best of lists, but this is a very good one. We cut to the back. Bullet is with Goldie. Hakeem Fullerton's asking, which team was better, Beer Money or AMW? I'm going to AMW, 200%. I love Beer Money, but AMW. Jay?
Yeah, I think I gotta agree. I mean, I love both, but I think just that there was something more organic about AMW, you know. Absolutely.
The fact that it was an accidental team in some ways makes it even better. You know, that they weren't meant to be a team. I think that makes it even better. So I like it, man. I think AMW, again, needs a lot more credit than they get. I love Bullet Bob in the back, though, Jay. He's just had it. I'm done with all this shit. And then she's like, well, what are you going to do, Bullet? Because everybody's asking me what I'm going to do. I don't care. I don't have an answer for you. You could just tell this is like that old man rant. You know, like, you guys are pissed off your dad with too many questions. That's what this was. That's exactly what this was. It's just like, he's like, I don't know. Well, what do you want me to say at this point? I don't fucking know what to tell you. That's exactly what it was. Jay, you're a father.
He's frustrated. it's like the little daughter is like, you know, tugging on his coattails. He's getting pissed off. He's frustrated because he's trying to fix the company as a whole, and it's just completely unraveling with the rise and the growth of SEX. There's so much sex. It's just driving him out of his mind. You know, it's
sex everywhere. Sex everywhere.
It's just too much sex. But
you're right.
Is there a thing as too much sex? Apparently for Bob,
is there a thing as too much sex? I don't. Apparently Bob isn't like, it's too much for Bob. Bullet's like, look, I already got like 8 sons. I don't need this shit. I love it. It was such a small 30-second segment, but I don't know why it's so funny just seeing him be so frustrated.
He's like, I'm out of here.
They go after I'm out of here. He leaves, doesn't he? He just walks away. The next match is a X Division title match that Russo put together to basically tell Sonny Siaki, you're safe. He goes, all right, tonight's one's for you. Chris Vaughn, the rookie from 2 weeks ago. It's Chris Vaughn versus Athena versus Sonny Siaki. Like, what? And then, you know, Tanae's playing it up like, come on, you know, this is just bullshit. I never said this kid is ready, blah, blah, blah. Siaki wins, clearly. No detail needed. Siaki wins, makes quick work of them all. And Desire comes in. They start attacking Athena. Athena, who's crazy over in the asylum. J-Bone, like, she's like super over in the asylum.
She is. I mean, there's like 12 foot long posters and poster boards. You know, in the middle of the crowd, Athena. It's like,
they love her, man. I used to be so confused. Like, who? How is she so popular? I couldn't figure. I'm like, how do people know Athena so much? But she was a local, you know, it helps. They start attacking Athena after the match, and then Trinity comes in, makes the save. Trinity comes in, takes out Siaki and Desire. They start going at her, but then Cash runs in, saves them both, and you could just see the seed right there planted. Feud escalation, X Division title now targeted. Kid Cash. I think this was the start of that. Again, every segment meant something to me, guys. A wrestling show is successful when every segment means something, when it leads to something else, when it leads to a feud, when it leads to next week. Give me something where it just builds and builds and builds. You know, like, I hate emptiness in these things. I hate emptiness. And I love that this had that. This had a lot of build. And it was really going somewhere. And you could just see right there in that one segment, Jay, they built Kid Cash ready for going for the X Division title. Under your nose, they planted that seed for you.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought it was great.
Yeah, and I love Kid Cash. Yeah. He was on fire in the early inception of this brand. So, yeah, I'm loving the fact that it's going. People are putting puppy emojis in the chat. I don't understand. Is that you trying to say you want puppies or something? I'm not going to show off my puppies here. They're not very attractive. I will show off this awesome Total Nonstop Impact shirt, though. I will show off that.
Link is at the bottom, guys. You can get your TNI Flame Mike t-shirt, the logo shirt. And if you buy a shirt, you're welcome to come on the Impact Plus Weekly and hang out with us. Talk Impact Wrestling. Links at the bottom. ProWrestlingTees.com/ToTheNonstopImpact. Get your shirt. Impact shirts for Impact fans. All right. That's enough. That's two mid-show plugs, Jay. Two mid-show plugs. Dead Punk Gage poses a great question. I'll never understand why TNA did not capitalize on Athena's popularity. That's such a good question. I don't know. I couldn't tell you why. Why didn't they? I can't figure it out.
You know, she didn't look good in the ring here.
I think that's what it is.
She looked like a deer in the headlights. She really did. I mean, she got in there. The crowd was on fire, and she got in there, and she just froze. She looked like she had no clue what she was doing in there. She got thrown out of the ring and then started brawling with Desire at ringside, you know? And then after she did that, Vaughn lost the match. Enter Cash and Trinity. And by the time you see Trinity kicking Siaki's ass and Desire's ass, you're not even thinking about Athena, unfortunately. You know?
You know, that's a good point. That's a very good point. I wonder if the Athena effect is this. Like, you guys ever go to indie shows? And there's like that indie wrestler on your local indie company that everybody's like, they're so good. They're so, oh my God, they should be signed. Why aren't they signed? And locally, you love them. They're super over. But then you see them on a different stage. You're like, they're really not that good. You know, they're over with the local crowd, you know, they're over with the locals, but they're not really over. They don't have the ability to actually get over. By the way, guys, on the screen, if you look right now, Skull 17 is pointing out that if you have Amazon Prime, you could subscribe to TNI on Twitch for free. Don't forget to, thank you, Brian. I got to plug that more. Subscribe to us on Twitch for free if you have Amazon Prime. Just link your Amazon Prime account to Twitch and get a free sub per month. So give us a sub. Help us out. J-Bone needs more lollipops. I got bills. I don't have kids, but I got bills. You know, Kyle needs more scumbaggery. He needs more Loka gear. I mean, Jay, I think he dropped another $600 on Taya Valkyrie gear, by the way. $600. I think he bought a new line of everything. Then he bought a second set of the new line for his lady. They're gonna be all those matching couples. You know, Jay, you ever wore these t-shirts? You ever see those t-shirts where there's two couples and they're like, they got like a hand pointing? It's like, I'm with her. And it's like the girl's wearing a shirt that says, I'm with him. That's Kyle. Loka for her, Loka for him. That's what it's going to say.
I remember doing that once. And this goes.
You did this?
I actually did that once. It wasn't that specific shirt that says, I'm with her and she's, you know, it wasn't that. Okay. It wasn't that. But this goes back to 93, 94. I was in love with an Italian girl by the name of Michelle. And at Summerfest, every year, I would go down there, and there was this one vendor I visited every summer, and he sold tie-dye t-shirts, like the best tie-dye t-shirts.
Okay.
You walk in this little cubby hole, and it's just hundreds of different colored tie-dye t-shirts, orange, red, green, blue, purple, glowing, whatever. It was, they were gorgeous. And I was like already like a, you know, a metal hippie at the time.
Oh God.
So I bought a blue, very similar to the blue surrounding my box here. If you look at this, very similar to that blue. It's like my favorite color blue. It's so sexy. I had that color blue baseball jersey, tie-dyed. My girlfriend had the matching one. And we were just walking around Summerfest hand in hand, and people just like, so that's the only time I ever did anything like that. So
guys, I want to in the chat, we actually got the story. How about that? he went all in on that one. J-Bone gave us the story, everybody. We're gonna get some Twitch emotes, Lakers, definitely. Brian Skull, can you take care of that for us if I give you the info? Can you handle that? And then Bill, and then Jay, just so you never forget, so you never, ever, ever forget. Don't ever forget. Checkers by J-Bone. Checkers by J-Bone, everybody. Yeah, thank you, Brian. Brian, I'm gonna get the login information as we got out of here, and we're gonna get some emotes for Twitch, guys. All right, so let's keep going here. J-Bone, I can't. You still have that jersey? I wonder if you still have that jersey. Wait a minute. What did the jersey say on it?
What did it say on it? It was just blue tie dye. It was just a very beautiful blue and white tie dye. It was cool though. It was cool.
I swear Kyle is more and more like you every day. Every day, Jay. Every goddamn day,
kinda,
that kid's more and more
scary,
like you.
Kind of scary, isn't it? Kind of scary, eh?
A little bit. It's strange. You're not actually related. That's the scarier part of all this.
I tell you what.
Oh, shit.
I should ask him sometime. Be like, by the way, what? Do I actually know your mom? You know, it's because, you know, I was a little, you know, promiscuous back in the day. And
you ever been to New York City? Because that's the last thing we need is just to verify that.
not even close, but you never know. You know, people move. You know, I was promiscuous 20 some years ago. So,
guys, the stories about Jay that come out on this on the throwback show are just mind-boggling to me sometimes. We first hear about your attempted murder, Jay. The Checkers incident. We hear about the Checkers incident.
Okay, that's a little accelerated about... there. That's a little accelerated.
Then we hear about the drinking days, how you were just destroying hotel rooms and relationships, drinking Pabst. Now we hear about this promiscuity, this promiscuousness of J-Bone. What the hell is wrong with you? You're a father. Your kids might come across this video someday and say, what the fuck is happening here? What are you doing, J-Bone? You gotta set an example here. What are you doing? I'm not sure where you're going with all this. I would hope for the sake of your family, you straightened out by now. I hope so, Jay. Oh, I hope you've cleaned up your goddamn act.
I turned in that pimp card a long time ago. That's long gone now.
All right, good. Very nice. Very nice. Thank you very much. J-Bone has turned in his pimp card. He's cleaned up his act. Thank you very much, J-Bone. All right, let's keep going. The match is over. Obviously, Cash said. So they set up Cash for Siaki eventually. They go to the back and SCX is partying. They're in the back. They're partying. And they're basically, somebody's dragging. Who was dragging Goldilocks to the locker room? Was it BG? Who was dragging her to the locker room? To the SCX locker room.
BG James is dragging her to the locker room. And she's like, no, I don't want to go with you. No, I don't want to party with you. I have a job to do. And in the midst of saying all this, Now she's already in the locker room. There's streamers everywhere. Everyone's got a bottle of something, and everybody starts hosing her down. Mind you, she has a white shirt. I'm like, oh, great. This is going to be like, you know, wet t-shirt contest time with Goldie. And she, and I'm like, oh, this,
she was not happy though.
No, she wasn't. She wasn't like, woo. No, she was pissed off. She wasn't having it. She grabbed the bottle. She smashed it on the ground. Then with all this happening and they're all trying to like, you know, hose her with champagne and beer and whatever, Russo comes in. And you're like, oh, it's the leader. He's going to be fine with all this. And you know, he's going to join in the celebration. No, he does not join in the celebration. He goes off on his crew. What are you doing? We still have a match to go. It's like everybody was in the
match. Yeah, he was not happy. He was not happy about it. And he said, hey, we're not done yet. We still got the title match. Still got Jeff. What do you think you're doing? There's no time to party yet. You know, so he was pretty upset about this. He was not having them party just yet. I think Goldie was legit pissed. I don't think she was expecting some of that to happen. What do you think? Do you think she? I don't know, Jay. Like you could just tell. Like you know, sometimes you could tell when people are working. She looked like she was legit angry. I don't think she planned for some of that happened there.
Yeah, I think she...
Because she talks about, you know, things like that.
She looked like she was like, oh, okay, yeah, we're going in here. You know, you act upset. But then she, like, she caught, like, you know, a half a bottle of champagne in the face, in her eyes. And that's when, yeah, that almost legit scowl formed on her face. Like, oh, shit, this went too far.
I think that's truly what happened. I think she actually was like playing along at first. And then I think she must have gotten too much. Somebody reached over and tried actually pouring it on her chest. And I think that's where she snapped. You catch that? Somebody actually was like trying to pour right on her chest. And I think that's what set her over the top. Yeah. And you could just see her shift right about then.
There's a couple guys trying to hose her down. And she wasn't cool with that at all.
No, was not having it, man. She definitely did not want about any of that going on. Definitely not happy with it. But I'm curious. You know, she has talked about recently. She was like, oh, I was an asshole back then. You know, I wish I could redo those years. Like she's talked about how she had a bit of an attitude problem at times. So maybe this is part of it. I don't know. Could be. They get to the ring. Dusty Rhodes comes out. And he calls out Nikita Koloff. This is pretty epic. Now, anybody in the chat, did you guys grow up on the Superpowers, NWA, Jim Crockett Promotions? Because I did. I love that stuff. And I love the history of Nikita and Dusty. It was, you know, the Superpowers. Magnum TA went down with his accident. Nikita turned face. Dusty talks about all that. They talk a lot of history of Jim Crockett Promotions. Jay, did you grow up watching... Little JCP, WCW, NWA back in the 80s?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't remember exactly what year, but I remember seeing, like, you know, people against, like, there's like Luger and Sting versus the Russians, and Dusty was in that mix too. And I remember at one point being really confused when Koloff teamed up with Dusty, I was like, wait, what happened? How did we get here? Now, I was little at the time, so I was just confused, but I was like, all right, whatever. He's a good guy now. I was like,
guys remember, it was one of the biggest pops you'll ever hear. The face turn. It's on YouTube. Nikita Koloff turns face. Nikita Koloff's Superpowers. You want to hear one of the biggest pops you'll ever hear in wrestling history? Go to YouTube right now and check that. That's if anybody knows what I'm talking about in the chat, confirm what I just said. It is one of the loudest pops you'll ever hear. it's deafening. Deafening how over, because remember he was a Russian. It was the Russians, man. This is the Cold War. This is the time when like everything was USA versus Russia. This is at the height of it. And you had the Russian turn face, you know, the Russian turn face. That was pretty big, you know, that was pretty big. And that's why there's a lot of history here. There's a lot of history between these two. So they talk about it. Dusty really discusses a lot of it. He basically tells him, hey, join tradition, be on the right side of this history. So Nikita comes out, but he doesn't come out from the Sports Entertainment Extreme locker room. He comes out on his own, and then they start questioning, is he on his own? Who's he with? He didn't come out that way. Russo comes out. He's like, you better not do it, Nikita. You better not, you know, like, don't be on the wrong side of this. Nikita goes to get in the ring, and you hear Russo going, are you freaking kidding me? Nikita gets in, looks like he's about to hug Dusty, knocks him in the face, decks him right in the face. But here's the interesting thing, J-Bone. He leaves the way he came in, not with anybody. Catch that?
Yeah, he pulls an AJ Styles. It's like he's there's something going on there, but he's not fully in with Sports Entertainment Extreme.
And so again, here's another one you're wondering about. Now, obviously, Nikita's, you can already tell he's not there for a long time. Obviously, it's there for a storyline. He's not working, so it's just, you know, some story. He hasn't said a word at this point, so Nikita's strictly there to further some story. But again, it's got to keep you guessing. I like that. But here's the funny thing. The Tanay face was all over the segment, J-Bone. Your favorite thing, Tanay face. Tell people who don't know, talk about Tanay face. There it is. If you're watching that video, you see it. Angry Mike Tanay, tight-lipped, pissed off. What did he do during this match? After all this is over, Jay, he did something very interesting, though, which I thought was a shoot. Did you write this down?
He walked out. But I got to rewind because something hilarious. Russo, in this whole segment, I was just laughing hysterically. He's on the steps, and he's talking down to Nikita.
He's
like, bro, I know you don't speak a lot of English. You know more Russian than English.
Yes.
So yes. He's trying to, like, talk real slow to him, and it's like...
I loved it.
It's like, well, because Nikita didn't say anything. And all nothing. I remember him from back in the day is, he talk like this, you know. I think like half the wrestlers back in that golden era just talk like, they all talk like this. And Baron Von Raschke, you know, and Ultimate War, they all sounded like that. It was hilarious.
But he did. He did a broken English Russian voice. That was the difference. But
and find out years later, he was like some pastor in the Midwest or something. And I was like,
so he was born again.
Serious?
Funny though. Nick Simpson is his real name. Legally changed his name to Nikita Koloff. That's his legal name. Yeah, he was so committed to the character that he changed his name to Nikita Koloff. And I thought that was interesting. But he's a pastor now, full-time. You know, full-time pastor. But yeah, I love that. I was like, I know you don't speak a lot of English, bro. Like, what the fuck?
And then Russo at the end, they're kicking and beating down Dusty, he sticks his head in the ring and goes, ha-ha, Dusty, blow me.
Yeah, blow me. I'm telling you, he is such an antagonist. And it's like, you know, you love him or hate him. There's no heels like that today who are constant antagonists. Every three segments, he's antagonizing a babyface. You're like, God, you just want to see this guy get his at some point, you know?
Very few people today have that kind of polarizing effect on people. The first one off the top of my head, I'd say, is someone like MJF.
Yeah,
there's not a whole lot more,
but very few can just constantly keep gaslighting this fire, constantly sprinkle more gasoline on these fires, you know. And it's like, son of a bitch, man, Like this guy, you cannot stop him. People are talking a lot about Nikita Koloff in the chat. I love it. Dusty sucks eggs. I always wanted that t-shirt, Bill. If anybody ever finds that t-shirt, please get me that t-shirt. I'll pay you if you can find that t-shirt. XL. I love it though. You could see such a great like war developing here. These faces and Russo heel. It's so exciting. You know, I wish more people saw these shows. It's so exciting. You know, they're so much fun. And I love the people watching them for the first time. People who are watching them now for the first time because of us or whatever. Because you got the app now, like, great. Enjoy this because there's fun shit that make you wonder how the hell we got away from that to what we have today.
Yeah.
Because it's just heat. But anyway, Tanay goes to the back. He goes up to Jeff Jarrett and he's like, you know what you have to do? Do it for tradition. And, you know, he's like, come on, Jeff. I know you're for your father and your grandfather. Jarrett's like, Tanay, why don't you do what you do? Call the show. I'll do what I do. And then he just walks in. You got Tanay going, with that like very serious Mike Tanay face. We need an emote of Mike Tanay face. The angry, you know, the tight-lipped Mike Tanay face. Somebody needs to make that one for Impact or for us.
We absolutely need that.
I would love that one. Can we get that one, please? All right. Main event time. So now they've stacked the deck against Jeff Jarrett, right? This is what the match is now. It's three members of SCX in a battle royal against Jeff Jarrett in a battle royal type situation. After the first two are eliminated, the third one will go one-on-one with Jeff Jarrett for the title. Now, this is, again, I call it superhero shit. Superhero shit. Because, Jay, all these guys beating Jarrett down, man, like the fact that he kept getting up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at a certain point, is it not too much? And I'm not trying to dog. I know they're booking him as an uber baby face, fighting from below. But at a certain point, is it too much? Is it too much Superman shit to deal with here?
The thing that evened it out, that weighed it out a little bit, excuse me, was the fact that you had that side story of the Armstrongs battling it. You had Scott Armstrong.
Talk about that.
You had Scott Armstrong, the ref, who was real against all this. You know, this was on paper, this was supposed to be a fatal four-way, okay? Mm-hmm. Which is like, oh, okay, that's fine. But when the other three opponents in the ring with Jeff Jarrett are all from the same stable, obviously, okay, there's a problem here. And Scott, you know, is like trying to keep this as not, you know, not so wild, wild west. You know, it's like, okay, it is a fatal four-way, which means anything goes, but Scott is still trying to keep some semblance of, you know, so that no one gets, you know, killed out here. And so when people were going after him with everything under the sun and the chair shots and the everything, he was getting in. He was getting in Bob's face. He was getting in Don's face. He was getting in, you know, Christopher Daniels' face, especially his brother's face, BG James. And, you know, taking the chairs away, trying to, you know, help out Jeff Jarrett as much as possible, which he shouldn't have, but it just added to the drama of the entire moment. You know, and finally get back in the ring and I'm talking about Scott Armstrong here, the ref. He's getting shoved, he's getting pushed. Finally, he just rips his shirt off and he just goes absolutely bonkers on BG James. And that's where everything started really turning. The crowd exploded when this happened. Oh my God. Everyone on their feet.
They did. Everybody pops for when like a ref gets to do his thing, you know, and kind of like explode and finally had enough. People do go nuts for that shit. I think it's a fun thing when the ref has had enough of this shit. And that's what happened here with Scott. He has had enough of it. And he just snapped, which I thought was funny. But you're right. Good point though, Jay. It's kind of that side story, but he gets taken out. He gets taken out. This is where it gets just buck wild. He gets taken out. Rudy Charles comes in as a referee. Dusty comes down, starts beating down Sports Entertainment Extreme, goes to their locker room. What do you say, Jay?
Dusty brought down the new ref.
Oh, he did. Okay, he brought down Rudy Charles. So Dusty brings on the new ref. So he brings him down. He starts fighting guys off. It's just buck wild. So now it's down to Daniels and Jeff Jarrett at this point. Locker room's out watching. It's a big old thing. Everybody's involved. Everybody's hot. You know, it's just again wild. And then Jarrett takes him out. Jarrett gets the win. Gets the win with the stroke. Pins Christopher Daniels. The TNA locker room standing tall with them, celebrating big old victory, rah, rah, rah. And out of nowhere, kind of like, okay, Jay, set this up for us. Set this up. You had everybody in the ring. You had Jarrett dead center. Set this up now. What we see next?
Jarrett won. You got all the baby faces coming in the ring, lifting him up on their shoulders. They're doing their own celebration a la, you know, Sports Entertainment Extreme. You know, they had their celebration. All the baby faces are celebrating theirs because Jarrett just did pretty much the impossible. Like, there's no way he should have won this one. But, you know, it was, he had a little help from his friends. And so he's up on his shoulders, and then out of nowhere, with literally less than a minute left in the broadcast, Raven dives in the ring, pulls Jarrett down, starts wailing on him, and everyone just backs off, is like just shocked, like, what the hell? Who is this? And
yeah,
he puts Jarrett in the Raven effect.
Yeah,
grabs the title, dives out of the ring, does the infamous pose on the ramp, which is the thumbnail of this video, which I Raven's pose. We love it. And then all of a sudden, the camera pans to the other side of the ring, and Russo's there by where he always comes out on the other side of the fence. And he's motioning. Mm-hmm. He's like, come on, come on. Raven runs back down the ramp around the side of the ring over to Russo.
And one of my favorite things, it got beeped on this. I'll never forget it to this day. I remember Russo going, that's fucking Raven. That's fucking Raven. And they did beep it on Impact Plus. It got bleeped. But I remember when it happened. That's fucking Raven. Like, I thought it was awesome.
I think one of them got through, but you could tell what he was saying. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was classic, though. The shot of him diving out and the people who the signs, McMahon fears Raven, all that. Though that's a classic clip. Now, Hakeem points out a good thing. He's like, it's so funny, all the superhero shit by Jarrett, and then everybody's in the ring and just literally lets him get beat down. Like, nobody does anything to stop Raven. It's just like, oh, okay. Like, it seemed a little odd that they just kind of let it happen. But
you're just so like in the moment, like just out of nowhere, like, wait, what the hell just happened? Yeah, they're just like, they're in shock. They're so jubilant, you know?
Yeah. What about me? What about Raven? So this is the era. Now, guys, let me set this up for anybody who hasn't seen. Now, anybody who has seen all these Wednesday Night Pay-Per-Views, you'll know what I'm talking about. This begins to build to one of the greatest feuds in TNA history, which with the result that I'm not too happy about, but the build to Jarrett and Raven is one of the absolute best feuds in the history of TNA. Draws their biggest house and biggest buy rate at that point. Biggest house in Asylum history, I want to say. And the biggest buy rate of the Wednesday night NWA TNAs, which is what this leads up to. So what we're starting with episode 29, I don't know what number that one is. We're just going to get to it when we get to it. But this is one of the best feuds in TNA history. And this is the start of it. And I absolutely remember the feeling of that day when we got to that match, when this happened. Now, it's all so nostalgically coming back to me while watching these that I'm like, man, I know what's to come, and there's so much good stuff. Guys, if you're not watching along with us on Impact Plus, like, seriously, it's worth $8 because this is some of the best shit you'll see. And Jay can tell you, he's watching for the first time all these Wednesday night shows, and you're loving it, right, Jay?
I'm a day one from the start of us doing these, you know, not a day one back then, like Trent, not that kind of day one, but right here watching these one a week faithfully and doing these reviews. And I love them because we're seeing the inception of guys like, you know, the rebirth of, you know, Raven in a brand new brand like this. And I'm so excited about it because I love Raven. Because we just don't see guys like him anymore. So now we're watching him on a regular basis like this. You get to see the first years of our truth when, okay, yeah, you know, people are, you know, is, you know, used to seeing him being the, you know, the comedy relief, you know, on a, you know, WWE. But he's a legit athlete here and kicking ass. And guys like AJ Styles and so many other legends from almost 20 years ago, man. These are so much fun to watch.
They are, man. And I did you ever go back and watch the ones that you missed when you were on vacay? Did you ever make up those?
I watched parts of them because I did the covers first, so I caught highlights and stuff.
Okay, I'm gonna watch. I'm gonna need you to go back and be caught up because you're gonna have to end this with I've seen them all. So I want you to go back and watch those.
You're right.
Definitely check that out. Well, that was it, guys. That was episode 29, NWA TNA. Again, historical show about to build up to be an amazing rise in the company. If you watched it, how'd you like it? Did you enjoy it? Give us your thoughts on it. We'd love to hear your feedback. Tweet us over at We Talk Impact on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Let us know how you liked it. If it was something you enjoyed, if you watching it again, let us know what's up. But anyway, Jay, I liked it a lot. I'm excited for 30, man. I'm looking forward to episode number 30.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, this is the last few weeks and the inception of Sports Entertainment Extreme has been a real page turning moment in this company, and now we're about to see an we're getting to like building to a climax here. I feel like
big time. But guys, stay tuned if you're watching along with us on Impact Plus. Don't forget you can get all these right there, all on demand. Get caught up, watch along with us, be ready for these shows every Thursday. Remember, Throwback Thursday from now on. If you're not watching, what are you waiting for? 30-day free trial of Impact Plus. And then after that, it's only $8 a month. So check that out, guys. But that is going to do it for the show. I liked it a lot. Listen, again, we're moving the show to Thursday. So now, again, the schedule. Tuesday night is Tuesday night, the Total Nonstop Impact flagship show. Thursday is the Throwback show, and Sunday is the Impact Plus Weekly. If you want to come on Impact Plus Weekly, you've bought a t-shirt, let us know what day you want to come on. We'll schedule you to come on for a little bit, and that's how you do it. You want to join us, hang out with us. It's an open forum on Sundays, so come join us. Don't forget, guys, next week, episode number 30, the legendary William Gardner will be joining us. Who's William Gardner? He is the front row guy at Impact Wrestling. He is the guy in the front row, Moose Vest, EC3 jacket. You know him. You've seen him at every show. He's a friend of the show.
There you go.
There he is. A great, great guy. I'm looking forward to hanging out with Bill and talking. So NWA TNA. But Bill, be ready. Number 30 next week. Guys, I think that's going to do it. Jay, let's get your plugs in. Where can people connect with you when it's not showtime?
Well, when it's not showtime, it's showtime somewhere else over on Smash This Podcast, where we're smashing all things wrestling. Just look up Smash This Podcast on YouTube. You'll find me. You can also find Smash This Podcast over on the Facebook, the Instagram, and the Twitter box. Me personally over on the Twitter box, you can find me at jbone5150. That's JAYBONE 5150.
Awesome. Guys, remember you can connect with the show at We Talk Impact on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Just type in We Talk Impact or Total Nonstop Impact Podcast. It comes right up. For audio listeners, you're taking this on the go with you. You can take it on the go on all major podcast apps. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, YouTube, Geo7 in India. We just submitted over to Pandora. I didn't tell you guys this. I just submitted it to Pandora. They're reviewing it. Did you know Pandora did podcasts? I didn't either. Apparently they do. And we just got submitted to Pandora. So we're waiting on Pandora to verify everything, guys. They'll be doing that, hopefully. And that's another platform we're going to be on. But anything you're on and whatever you listen to it on audio, rate, review, subscribe, guys. It helps us get seen, get heard. If you like the show, give it a quick thumbs up or a quick five-star like. Twitch.tv/TotalNonstopImpact. Cheer bits. Subscribe on Twitch. We're trying to build the Twitch up. Next level is partner. Get us the partner, everybody. Guys, that's going to do it for us. That's NWA TNA number 29. This is the Throwback Show. Jay, cue up the video. Cue up the outro. We will talk to you guys Sunday night, Impact Plus Weekly. Again, if you bought a t-shirt, you want to come on this Sunday, let us know, and we will get you on. All right, everybody. J-Bone, did I miss anything?
No, that's it. Let's get out of here.
That's it. All right, for the scumbag as well. Screw you, Kyle. We'll talk to you guys on Sunday. Good night, everybody. Have a very safe weekend. Enjoy it. Be careful out there. It's going to be hot as shit. So enjoy it. We'll talk to you guys on Sunday. Good night.
This is the real Impact Wrestling World Champion, Big Mike Michael Elgin, and you're listening to Total Nonstop Impact.
This is the jaw-jacking, Tuesday night impacting. His mother called him son because he shines like one. Mocha skin manimal, Rohit Raju, and you are watching Total Nonstop Impact.
This is Taya La Huera Loca, and you are listening to Total Nonstop Impact.
The walking weapon, Josh Alexander, and you're listening to Total Nonstop Impact.
We are the Rascals. And you are listening to Total
Nonstop
Impact
Podcast, baby.
Woo! And what you're really listening to is Total Nonstop Impact. Don't you dare miss a listen. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.